The book review. I was shopping for books in the book lounge last week, and I saw the name. I saw the name Parker Bilal on a book, and I thought, "Ooh, I haven't read a Parker Bilal for a very, very long time." Picked it up. It's called The Heights, a Crane and Drake thriller. And I thought, hold on a second. That's not the Parker Bilal I know, because the Parker Bilal I know had, I think, six books, and they were fascinating. It was a Sudanese, an ex-Sudanese detective who was kind of operating in the liminal space between official law enforcement and private law enforcement in Cairo. And he'd left Sudan under troubled circumstances. And he was investigating murders in Cairo. And I found them really, Makana was the guy's name, and I found him really interesting and having these murder mysteries with all of the sort of regular aspects of detective thrillers, private detective thrillers. Yeah, they were all in there, and they were set in this extraordinary environment of Cairo. And I absolutely loved them. But this is... it's the second in a trilogy involving two new characters. So I bought this one, and then I went to Kindle and bought the first one and read that one. And they're good. Crane and Drake are interesting characters. Drake is somebody who is black, who went through a phase of being a devout Muslim, but he is no longer. He served in the army. And served in places like Afghanistan and Iraq. Then he joined the police force, and he was marked for higher office. He was on an acceleration path, and then a story happened, which is explained in the books, and he becomes on the outs. And eventually, at the end of the second book, at the end of the first book, he leaves the police force, and he goes into a partnership with Dr. Rehana Crane, who he meets in the first book, who is a forensic psychologist who often helps the police. And this happens in London. She is somebody of Iranian origin, although she has become much westernized, and she has very difficult relationship with her parents and the world, and she's really interesting, and the two of them are very they're very skittish with each other, but they know that each has skills which can be used for the other. So the characters, and again London, and some nice dense complex plotting, good storytelling. So I'm delighted that Parker Bilal, make a note of the Makana series, there's six of them, and then there are the two new ones, the latest of which is called The Heights. The first was called The Divinities. And Parker Bilal is the name that a literary novelist called Jamal Majoub, who's a really, really good literary novelist, but when he's writing detective thrillers, he writes under the name of Parker Bilal. And then this is one of those books that is not going to win any literary prizes. The writing's good, the writing's effective, but it's the storytelling and the characters that make it such an enjoyable read. It's called Three Women and a Boat, and it is by Anne Youngson. And it is a follow-up to her first book, Meet Me at the Museum. And it tells the tale of three women, two strangers. They don't know each other. They just happen to be walking along a towpath next to a canal in the UK. And they're walking separately, and they hear a scream coming from one of the canal boats. But they go to investigate, and the scream is simply a dog wanting to be let out. And there, on this boat, number one, they meet Anastasia. And all three women are at a crossroads in their lives. Sally has left her unhappy marriage. She's looking for something more than what she's left. Eve has been made redundant from her job after years of devoted and loyal service to that job. And Anastasia's in need of support. She has an operation looming, which, if it works, might save her life, but there's no guarantee that it would work. So she is facing the possibility of losing her life. And what happens is that Anastasia takes the flat that one of them has vacated, and Sally and Eve, who've just met, move onto Anastasia's boat. And they journey along the canals of England in a bid to get that boat fixed, and Anastasia is kind of communicating with them remotely. So she's part of the story as well. So you have these two inexperienced women who are learning to know each other, and they are navigating a narrow boat along the canals of England, which is not an easy thing to do. And a lot of things go wrong, and their journey is an adventure, but it's an adventure which is dogged with problems. And along the way, they meet a lot of the really interesting characters that inhabit the narrowboat life, and they all make brief but telling appearances in these people's lives. And they're just lovely characters about whose lives you want to find out more, and for whom you wish the best. And it doesn't end on a rah, 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 everything's fine note, but it does end with the three women, each of them having a new set of possibilities in their lives. So it's humorous, it's charming, it's moving, it's about friendship and self-discovery and all of those good things. And it's just a book that you close with a sigh of deep enjoyment. And then on the non-fiction front, a book called Chatter, which is by an American experimental psychologist, neuroscientist, Ethan Cross. His speciality is the science of introspection. Did you know that there was something called the science of introspection? There is. And he works in a laboratory at the University of Michigan. It's called the Emotion and Self-Control Laboratory. And the book is called Chatter, and the subtitle is The Voice in Our Head and How to Harness It. And he makes the fairly obvious point that all of us have, to a varying degree, a self-talking element. We talk to ourselves. We have an inner voice. It's part of what makes humans humans, is to have an inner voice. But some people turn that inner voice into something which is deeply negative for them. It's not that one can't have negative thoughts about oneself and one's life, but when all you have is negative thoughts, and when that negative chatter becomes uncontrollable and stills any possibility of positivity in an inner voice, that you have a problem. So he defines chatter as the constant verbal stream of negative thoughts and emotions we direct towards ourselves, conversations we have with ourselves that we dwell on and ruminate over. And he makes the point in, I mean, he's obviously a very serious scientist, but he writes in a very engaging lay way. So it's you know, there's none of the verbiage of academia that you would find. He simply explains to us why we have an inner voice, what happens when that voice is hijacked by chatter. Because if our chatter is impacting us negatively, we're sabotaging others as well. We're sabotaging the inner voices of friends and family. So he doesn't just tell us about this. He gives us tools we can use to manage it. He says you don't want to eradicate your better voice. You simply want to have a better relationship with it. I'm not somebody who reads and acts on self-help books. So it's not really, I mean, I found it an interesting book to read, but it's not something that I'm going to use to manage my life. But there are a lot of people whose first choice of book is something like this that allows them to manage better something which might be problematic in their lives. And if you are somebody who feels that your inner voice is overwhelmingly negative and impacting on your life, then I suspect that you'll get a lot of help from this book, Chatter, The Voice in Our Head and How to Harness It, by Ethan Cross. That's K-R-O-S-S.